morning's message comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 to 20. You can follow along on the screen up above. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he is first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sean. Christ the King Sunday. Today we celebrate Christ as past, present, and future King over all the earth. This particular Sunday marks the end of the church year. We mark years in different ways. You know, the school year beginning in September, a new calendar year beginning in January, a fiscal year, which can depend according to an organization. And then there is the church liturgical year. The year begins with the first Sunday in Advent, and then it ends with Christ the King Sunday. Why another church arrangement? The seasons of the year provide us with a spiritual rhythm to regularly remind us of the life of Christ, journeying through the events in his life. So we will see, as verse 11 in Colossians 1 says, strengthened and have all the endurance and patience we need, receiving joy and giving thanks. The more that we get to know about Christ, the more we understand who God is, what he has done, who we are as a result, and what it means to live in and for him. When you think of the calendar year, often associated with the different seasons are different colors. Christmas, you know, you think of red and green, summer, yellow, fall, orange, spring, green. Well, there are also colors associated with the liturgical year. Some of you may be familiar with this, others of you may not, and may not have noticed even some of the changes that occur here in the sanctuary. We don't focus a lot on this, but I did want it to bring it to your attention today, so that as we progress through the year, that you will be aware of the meaning, and hopefully it will add to your worship. As we begin the church year next week, starting with Advent, the color that you will see is royal blue. Advent is a word that means coming. It's not that we are looking for a Messiah yet to come, but Christ has already come, and we long for him to come again. Advent is marked as a time of waiting, of taking time to be still, which certainly can be very difficult in the midst of the busy Christmas season. But Advent is a way of reminding ourselves that in the midst of all that busyness, we need to renew our relationship with the King who has come. The colors of Christmas are white and gold, a reminder of Jesus as the spotless Lamb of God. who came to take away the sin of the world. Those colors of white and gold continue on through Epiphany when we recall the coming of the wise men. Then, beginning with Ash Wednesday, we begin Lent, the color of which is purple. It's a season that calls us to stop and look at our lives in light of what Christ has done. It's a time of repentance, of humbling ourselves before God, recommitting our lives to Him. On Easter, the colors change again to white and gold to portray the purity and the kingliness of our risen Savior. The next liturgical color that you'll see is red, symbolizing the flames of Pentecost, recalling the tongues of fire and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then between Pentecost and Advent is what is referred to as ordinary time. It refers to those just kind of ordinary days of life, the day-to-day life that we live. The color of green is used during this time to depict it as a time of growth, living in our faith, learning the ways of the kingdom. And then we are brought to today. On this Christ the King Sunday, we are reminded that He is with us throughout all the seasons of life. This is a day where we celebrate Christ as King over all of the earth, past, present, future. Christ the King Sunday is a tradition that doesn't go back all that far, just about 90 years, back to 1925. 1925 was a challenging time in the world. The war that was to end all wars, which it didn't, had ended. And another war was on the horizon. There was worldwide economic depression. People were fearful, desperately looking for answers. And in response, two leaders rose up who believed they had the answers. One was Mussolini, and the other was Adolf Hitler. The Pope at that time listened to these men competing for power and saw the people's distress, how they were searching for answers. And he felt like it was time to remind Christians of their allegiance to Christ, that Christ is King, and that there is hope found in Him. And so he instituted Christ the King Sunday. And this is what he wrote for the purpose of this day. And I think these words are powerful. The faithful maneuver by meditating upon these truths will gain much strength and courage, enabling them to form their lives after the true Christian ideal. If to Christ our Lord is given all power in heaven and on earth, if all people purchased by His precious blood are by a new right subjected to His dominion, if this power embraces all people, it must be clear that not one of our faculties is exempt from His empire. He must reign in our minds, which should assent with perfect submission and firm belief to revealed truths and to the doctrines of Christ. He must reign in our wills, which should obey the laws and precepts of God. He must reign in our hearts, which should spurn natural desires and love God above all things and cleave to Him alone. He must reign in our bodies, which should serve as instruments for the interior sanctification of our souls, or to use the words of the Apostle Paul, as instruments of justice unto God. As we look at the world today, we are again in troubling times, and we too can be fearful, seeking answers. Terrorism, war, violence, health issues, setbacks personally in our families, in our finances. We even mentioned that in relation to the church here. So how appropriate in the midst of life today to find this reminder that Christ is King. The kingdom of God that Jesus brought is to be a present reality in our lives. And we are to be reminded that there is a future kingdom over which God will reign in Christ. The passage of scripture that was read from the first chapter of Colossians reminds us of the centrality and the supremacy of Christ. It's a great summation of the journey of the liturgical year. The poem is a good reminder for us that Christianity is all about Jesus Christ. Included in this text are seven unique characteristics of Christ, where he is supreme. Christ is the image of God, the firstborn over all creation, creator of the universe, head of the church, supreme over all, the fullness of God, and the reconciler of all things. Christ is the supreme sovereign of the universe. If we stop and ask, why are we here today? It isn't because it's a particular way of being religious. It isn't about making an effort to be saved. It isn't about trying to be good and measure up. It's about Christ. The poem here in Colossians says boldly that Jesus Christ is the one through whom and for whom the whole creation was made in the first place. And let me read verse 15 to you again. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. Creation is full of beauty. You know, you look around, especially here in this area where we live, you know, the mountains, the seas, the trees, the stars, the sunsets. However, in this world, we also do see pain and suffering, evil. But that was not the original intent. And so to heal the world, God acted. And he did that through the same one through whom it was made in the first place. Jesus, through whom the world was made, is the same Jesus through whom the world has now been redeemed. Verse 19 and 20 tells us, "For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross." As we look at Jesus, we find out who God is. Jesus is the image of God. John 1:18 says, "No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." When I was thinking of this, I thought, well, maybe a way that we can picture this is by thinking of one of those circular convex mirrors. A convex mirror reflects an image to extend a field of view. It provides a wide-angle vision that helps a person see around blind corners and see into hidden areas. I've seen these frequently in hospital hallways, so you don't run into somebody in a collision. Before you go around the corner, you see who is there. Christ is a bit like that mirror. He's the visible image of the invisible God. Christ reveals God to us. In Jesus, God has come near to us. In several passages in the Gospels, it tells about how the kingdom of God has come near. Luke 10:11 states this saying, "And know this, the kingdom of God is near." The sphere of God's influence, his rule and reign in the world, is near, but it's not fully here. We're not there yet. We see the reflection, but not face to face. We live in that space kind of before we turn the corner. In our Alpha session last week, the speaker for the week, Peter Gregg, talked about this, how the kingdom of heaven has come near, how God's kingdom came with Jesus, and then one day he will come again, and the kingdom at that point will have fully come. He pointed out how there are 300 references in the New Testament to this day when Jesus will return, where there will be a new heaven and a new earth. God's near kingdom will be God's here kingdom. When that time comes, there will be no more war, terrorism, fighting, disease, injustice. In Revelation 21, 1-4, we read, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now coming among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.'" Right now, we live in that in-between time, in this overlap between the coming of God's kingdom near and the day when God's kingdom will be fully here. So on this Christ the King Sunday, where do we connect with Christ as King? I think it's in an awareness of the past, the present, and the future. When you look at the world and the beauty around us, remember it's like that because of Jesus. Realizing that everything was created through him and for him. It's remembering what has gone before, what he has done, his faithfulness, his love, his redeeming work. The things we remember as we walk through that liturgical year. The second thing is opening ourselves up to the nearness of his kingdom. Seeing where he is currently working. Einstein said that there are really only two ways to live life. As if everything is a miracle, or as if nothing is a miracle. Pete Gregg in that Alpha video this past week noted, "We're huddled together on a rock that is spinning at 1,000 miles per hour around its axis while being propelled through space at 67,000 miles per hour in a galaxy of 100,000 stars. Either everything is a miracle or nothing is." At the Banff Pastors Conference that I attended a few weeks ago, one of the speakers commented, "If we listen very, very carefully to creation around us, to God at work in our lives and in those around us, we can hear the whisper of holy, holy, holy. We can see around the corner and we get a glimpse of his glory. Fully experiencing what it means to live now in the kingdom of God's Son. And finally, it's putting our hope in the kingdom to come. The same Jesus that has come will come again and will make all things new. We can live in a spirit of anticipation for the return of Christ to bring culmination of all of his purposes. Revelation chapter 1 says, "Grace and peace to you from the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come." And Revelation 1, or 5, chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, I think sums all of this up so well. "All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. King over the past. He has made us a kingdom of priests for God his Father. All glory and power belong to him. King over the present." And verse 7, "Look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him. King over the future." And then verse 8 says, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. Yes, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Lord, we celebrate you as past, present, and future King over all the earth. We praise you this day, Lord, as Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of our lives. And Lord, I pray that in the midst of the turmoil in which we find ourselves these days, that you would help us to remember you as King. Help us to keep our eyes on you, seeing what you have done in the past, seeing what you are doing in the present, and looking, Lord, to your future reign. May we see miracles around us, and may we listen closely to hear holy, holy, holy. And as we will declare in song, Lord, awake our souls, and may we sing of you who died for us, and hail you as the matchless King through all eternity. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.